chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now Peter and John," think of them right now, put yourself in their sandals, "went up together to the temple, and at the hour of prayer," that's about there the ninth hour, according to the Jewish clock, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, according to the Greek or Roman clock. Verse 2 says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple," which is called Beautiful, "to ask alms." That is a religious compassionate acts by the believers from those who enter the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And so he, the crippled man, the lame man, gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. He's just expecting some money or an apple or some bread, something. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have." And I wonder if at that moment the man went, "Oh, bummer. What? But what I do have, I give you." So now his ears and eyes kind of perk up a little bit. Ooh, what's this going to be? "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Again, put yourself on this man's gurney, on this stretcher that he's on. "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Is this a joke? Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? Listen, tomorrow you're going to be with family. And I highly recommend you be bold in the Lord and be excited about tomorrow when you meet with your family. Say, "Jack, you don't know the kind of family I'm meeting with." You go and meet with them, because do they not know the Lord? If they don't, give them the Lord. If they do, listen, it's a win-win. Be thankful. You may not be going to the temple tomorrow, but in a way, how about this? Whatever house, or maybe it's your house, when people walk in the door, then consider this. You and your husband or your wife or your family, you're going to be, as it were, going up to the temple tomorrow. You're going to be giving God honor and glory. And in your home will be those who are hurting. They may not look like it. They may not act like it. But you know what? They are lame from the inside out. They need hope. And you may, listen, you may not give them silver and gold. That won't help them one bit, honestly. But your love and your witness and your tangible presence as being a Christian tomorrow should really matter. Watch what happens as we look at this. Verse 7 says, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up." Took the incentive, Peter did. "And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Verse 8, "So he," notice the man's response. This is awesome. "So he, leaping up." The word here, leaping, is to spring like a deer. So watch this. This man has not walked. Peter reaches down to lift the guy up, and whatever happens in his bones, it is a God thing. Church, listen. Peter and John are willing. They're serving. They're volunteering their love to this man that, as far as they know, is a layman who gathers at this gate. "Hey, we don't have any silver or gold to give you." Do you ever feel like that when something's going on, your thought is, "Well, what can I do? I don't have much." Do you remember when Jesus wanted to feed the crowds there in Galilee? And he asked the disciples, "Hey, what do you guys have?" And they said, "Well, we've got this little boy's lunch. We've got a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. But what's that in light of so many people hungry?" And what does Jesus say? Jesus says to them, "Cause the people to sit down in groups. Feed them." What a challenge. I wonder if the disciples looked into their pockets of their robes at that moment, wondering, "Man, you know, what's the deal? Do we have any extra fish or any extra bread in our pockets?" They didn't. God supernaturally supplied. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving, is a unique Christian holiday. No one's advertising that. No one's pushing that. But it's true. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a Christian event. It's a Christian holiday. So I recommend and I encourage you to go out tomorrow and be bold about being thankful. Let them hear it. Can you do this in the house that you'll be in? Can you say, hey, everybody, I'm curious, what are you guys thankful for? Ask. See what happens. Because if you don't do that, what are you gathering for? Food. The game. Now watch this. Most people say, food. Game. And they go down the list. And it might go just off the top of my head. Food, game, day off, family, freedom, liberty, pilgrims, God. Notice, the first mention is food. The immediate temporal. Why? It's what everyone's going to say tomorrow if you say, hey, I'm just curious before we dive into this food. What are you guys thankful for? Ooh, food. But if they talk and if they debate or if they deliberate or if they think a little bit of meditation on it. Have you noticed when you talk about thankfulness, it goes from the immediate instant to deeper things? Have you noticed that when you really think about it, it goes to deeper things? I'm thankful. Look, I told you guys before, I'm thankful now more than ever. And I don't know if it's because I'm older, maybe. Is it because of the condition America is in? Probably. Is it because of the time and the age in which the world sits tonight? Probably so. But I tell you what, I'm so thankful for things like being alive each day. I know I'm going to heaven, so that's cool. When that happens, great. But I'm thankful for being alive. I'm thankful to get out of bed. I'm thankful to be able to be a Christian, to live one more day for Jesus. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for this church. And when I begin to think about that, ultimately, where do you end when you are giving thanks? I have to end with, I'm thankful for my salvation in Jesus Christ. Because when it's all gone, it's Him. When it's all over, it's Him. I'm thankful. And so, the man leaps up. He leaps like a deer. He stood and he walked. This is a cool statement. Because after leaping, watch this. He leaps. Oh! And then he stands. The words that he stood is he goes like this. Oh! They work! It's maybe that he leapt up in the air and it was might have been a freak. Might have been a freak thing. Could have been emotionalism. But now he stands. And he feels his leg. Ah, yeah. And then he walks. How do you think he walked? You think he walked like this? Honestly, come on. Do you think he went like this? Oh, wow, it's really neat to walk. This is something. How did he walk? Wouldn't you love to have seen this? Did he walk like John Wayne? Did he walk like Johnny Depp? Did he walk like... How did he walk? He was excited. He was healed. Do you think he was thankful? He entered the temple with them. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you like to meet Peter and John? This guy, he says, that's it. Well, I don't know what you guys are up to, but I'm going with you to worship. This guy's going into worship. He could have gone back to someone's house. He could have gone to his relatives. He could have gotten, who knows what? He goes with them to worship. He's thankful. Why? What happened? Because somebody, two men in the body of Christ, just like you and I, took the time to minister to somebody in need, and the man was touched. And you saw staff members on the screen tonight who've been touched by your commitment, by your love, by your actions. And it's still happening today. And it can happen tomorrow with you. And those whom you're shining the light and the love of Jesus. Notice this. He goes into the temple, your Bible says, walking, leaping, and praising God. If I would have had three more cups of coffee, I could have attempted to show you what that might have looked like. He's walking, he's leaping, he's praising God. Now stop right there. How do you go to church? Right? Let's go to the temple. Let's go to church. Wipe that smile off your face. We're going to church. Hey, can you keep the joy down a little bit? You're coming into church. Are you kidding me? Isn't it awesome? I don't know. Listen, some of you, I don't know. You've been brought up, maybe you're conditioned. You go, okay, now we've had a great weekend, but now we're going to go to church. Really? We love you, but maybe you should stay home until you can enter into his courts. What does the Bible say? With thanksgiving. Now, well, imagine entering in his courts with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts. Thank you, God. Thank you. No, I think, maybe I'm pushing the envelope a little bit, but I'm thinking that we should enter into his courts, jumping and leaping and praising God. He loved it. Listen, the Lord looked down that day and loved what he saw at the temple. Do you think it was the gold? Do you think God said, you know what? I mean, that guy's making some noise over there, but look at the gold trimming the temple. Gold. He doesn't care about gold. Was it the priest and all of their garb, all dressed up? So, no. Heaven looked down to see a man jumping and leaping and praising God. How did that happen? Because two brothers in Christ served somebody in need. And you and I will either be tempted by our flesh to say, but those are apostles. Or by faith we'll say, you know what? Tomorrow, God's going to use me because I'm going to expect God to use me in our family gathering. And I'm going to look for it. I'm going to look for that moment to shine for Jesus. God doesn't care about the temple. God doesn't care about the church as a structure. He cares about people, listen, that are hurting. And he cares about people who can do something about the hurt. And that takes us to the place of willingness. Are we willing? And I know I'm speaking to a church that is willing, very willing. Watch what happens. Verse 9 says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Isn't that great? Who's that guy over there? That's that guy. He's the crippled guy, the lame guy. He's always there at the beautiful gate. He's jumping around. He's going crazy. What happened to him? Well, we need to find out. And people, imagine now, people are talking. Hey, look at him, he's over here. Remember that guy? Is that the guy? No, it looks like the guy. No, that is the guy. People are now talking. They saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, then they knew. Hello. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You and I are Christians. It's tough witnessing to family members, isn't it? Jesus said a prophet has honor everywhere he goes, except in his own home. Isn't that amazing? You can witness to strangers and they'll listen to you, but have you tried to witness to your parents or your kids or your... Why is it so hard for them to listen to you about your new life? Answer, they know all about your old life. Things like this have been said to us. Wait a minute. Let me see if I have this straight. You are going to tell me about God? Look, you guys, I have people from school who will find out that I'm a pastor and they have to come to church. I meet them in the foyer. They come and they say, do you recognize me? Why, what's the deal? We went to elementary or we went to junior high or we worked at, and I had to come and see if it was true. Why do they say that? Because they knew me before. and there's been a change. And as a Christian, your life has been changed. Listen, whenever you encounter, like tomorrow, loved ones, and they say, wait a minute, you've mentioned God like 3 times and you've only been here for like 2 minutes. What's up with you? The great thing is they do know your old life. So tell them, hey, you know, I don't freak you out or anything, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful this Thanksgiving because God changed my life. You want to have it, listen, you don't have to go to Ferguson to have a riot. You can have a riot at the table tomorrow at the house you're in. You can tell them right up front, hey, man, listen, I don't want to freak all you guys out, but here's the deal. Jesus changed my life, freaked me out, pass the gravy. He's been so good to me. That's all you got to say. You don't have to say anything else. The whole night, the whole day, people are going to be looking at you, and they all want to talk to you about what you just said. Believe me, they all want to talk to you. But they're afraid of all the other ones, even though they all want to talk to you. They'll never say they want to talk to you, but they do want to talk to you about what happened. Can you let me in on this? So they might shun you. If you want to watch the game tomorrow after dinner, then witness like that. They'll cut you off. They won't talk to you. You can watch the whole game. Nobody will bother you because you're the crazy Christian on the couch. But if you just say, hey, I don't want to freak you guys out. Here's the deal. I won't say anything about it. I tell you what, man. This year, Jesus has been good to me. He died on the cross for my sins. I just want you guys to know I'm so, so thankful for this food because God is awesome. I'm thankful to God. Thankful for all you around here. I'm thankful for you. And Uncle Bob, you atheist, you grumpy old bum, you. I love you. I'm so thankful for you. And that's it. I won't talk any more about it. I'm telling you, do it. Watch what happens. It will be a Thanksgiving to remember. Very, very precious things God has done. I just want to run through some thoughts. I wrote down some Thanksgiving facts that we as a body need to keep in mind. Every day comes and goes, you know, and it's going to keep doing that until the Lord comes for us. But as Christians, we need to really, really focus and nurture on being thankful. We're so thankful to you. We pray that as a staff, as we serve you, you're thankful to God for us. Together, we're thankful for God, for Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us. We're thankful that the Bible is full of, and by the way, there's no other book like it, thousands of promises given to us by God. That's a Thanksgiving fact. Another Thanksgiving fact is to keep in mind that the world around us, our families, friends, neighbors, they're people too. And you share with them what God has done in your life. Be available this Thanksgiving for God to use you. A Thanksgiving fact. Isn't it interesting that Peter in verse 6 tells him, silver and gold we don't have. See, our world's been conditioned to buy our way out of things. If something doesn't work in America, if something doesn't work, throw money at it. That's the old saying. Hey, if it doesn't work, just throw more money at it. Those days are evaporating, but here's the deal, man. Listen, when it comes to the human soul, you can throw the money at it you want. It's not going to change a thing. Thanksgiving fact, we'll end with this. Thanksgiving fact, if you're thankful, if you and I nurture a thankful heart, it's kind of tough to complain about stuff. Did you know, listen, the number one quench to being thankful is complaining. Did you know that? Complaining destroys thankfulness. A thankful heart is crushed by complaints. In the same token, complaining evaporates when thankfulness is nurtured. Listen, are you listening? We're almost done. How many of you have troubles? Raise your hands. You have problems? There you go. Yeah. Listen, let's be honest. All the worrying and grumbling and griping about those troubles have never fixed one thing. It makes it worse, actually. It's kind of like if you're going to worry about it, then you're going to get doubly bad off. Because it doesn't do anything. It just makes you sick. But on the flip side, for all of us who have troubles, when you nurture a thankful heart, number one, you put everything about your life in the hands of God. When I complain, I'm saying God doesn't know what he's doing. When I'm complaining, I'm saying he's not in control. When I'm complaining, I'm saying his promises aren't enough. I'm insulting him. But when I'm thankful, listen, my car's been broken. The computer went nuts. It went crazy. And the first day, I kept thinking my car was parked in the driveway, and I walked out there and it's not there. It's at the shop. The second day was, man, I need that thing. The third day, I'm thankful that I'm going to be getting it back from the shop soon. The fourth day, when's it ready? Right? Picked it up yesterday. Was in there for a week. Woo-hoo! Couldn't wait to get it. Thankful. Got in there. Thank you, Lord. And as I drove home, thinking what week this was, I was thankful that God had a hold of my heart. Because, listen, in my earlier days, I would have gone in there and said, it's a Ford. You are Ford. What took you so long to fix your problem? You made it. Surely you know how to fix it. I was tempted to ride a bike. I actually had to walk. But no, God got a hold of my heart, and the thought was this: I'm grateful that I had a truck that could break down. So, Pastor, I got a flat today. Thank God! Imagine, you had three other tires. That's more than what most people have in the world. But my car had a flat. Listen, my computer's not working right. Thank God you have a computer. I guess. Maybe. But do you understand what I'm saying? We complain. We've been conditioned to complain. And I leave you with this. You guys, it doesn't matter if you're flying a hang glider or a 747. There's something on the dash, there's something in front of you called the attitude indicator. It lets you know no matter what, which way the plane is pointing. If it's pointing down, it tells you your nose is pointing down. You don't want your nose to point down too long because you're going to hit the ground. No, nose up. Nose to the left, nose to the right. It's the attitude of the plane. And listen, the attitude of the plane ultimately determines your altitude. If you're pointing down, you are eventually going to impact the earth, and it's not going to be pretty. Pointed up, you'll fly, you'll soar. Isn't it interesting that out of all the instruments on that hang glider or that 747 cockpit is the attitude indicator. It tells the pilot the attitude of the airplane. And it isn't amazing that you and I, if we nurture thankfulness, it is an attitude indicator of us being with God. You be around a grumpy person, griping all the time, moaning and complaining about this, that, and the other thing, you know this, they're going nose down. I don't know how long they've been descending, but if they stay in that condition, they're going to hit the ground. An unthankful attitude puts you in a downer. But when you focus on the goodness of God, it pulls your nose up. You start to have lift. You start to be safe. And I want to encourage you to experience and nurture the thankfulness of God. Church, we have so much to be thankful for. Can we stand together as we close and we just together confess our thankfulness to Him? Can we take a minute or two? You want to just shout out to the Lord what you're thankful for as it comes to your mind? I'm thankful for you. I tell you that right now as a church. Okay, forget about me. That's kind, but I just heard that twice. That's sweet. I'll receive that. But no more of that. Thankful for your wife. Now you're talking. Family, go, come on. Salvation. Lord Jesus, salvation. Kids. Health, mercy. Friends. Grace. Go ahead. You say, how can you, if we keep doing this, how can you hear us? I'm not the one hearing you. God's hearing you. Come on. What are you thankful for? Okay, watch this. Pause. Pause. Watch. Pause. I want you to think now. I'm going to ask you in a moment, so you have to think. I'm going to give you a heads up. I'm going to ask you to shout out one word or one thing, I should say, that you're thankful for in a moment. So I'm going to count to three here in a moment. And you shout it out. And let people hear it. Let angels hear it. Of course, God hears it before it leaves your tongue, your lips. But as the world falls apart and as things are crazy, I think we're going to start being able to detect Christians more obviously. If you go over here to the diamond store next door to Wahoo's, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I don't know. Normally, back in the old days, they would always display diamonds on a black velvet background. Why? Because it makes it look brighter. The world's getting dark. I think as Christians nurture the right attitude with Christ, I think you guys are going to be shining all over the place in this ever-darkening world. So are you ready? Here we go. On the count of three, I want you to shout out what you're thankful for. One, two, three. And God heard every one of you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. And Lord, as a church right here and now, my mind and my heart turns to those who are hospitalized tonight in this church. There are those who may have died during the course of our service tonight from this church. And there may have been babies born during this service tonight from this church. There are those, Lord, who are in hospice care. There are those who are trying to make their way home back to Chicago tonight and to Florida tonight. There are those of this church who are in jail. There are those from this church that have backslidden away and they're on the run, as it were, from you. There are those from this church who are at home tonight, thankful. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as we go forward, I thank you publicly for an amazing group of people. And Father, that you would only increase what you're doing here. We're humbled by it. And be with our family spiritually, near and far. We hear reports this week of those who join us on Wednesdays and Sundays in Malaysia, Germany, Tennessee, Canada, Japan, China, Sydney, Derbyshire, England. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. For in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys as we sing his praises tonight.